Why were they both in the North?
Because, well, no, there was a conference in the North. It was the conference of something to do with, there was already a conference of Northern business and unions and things like that going on there. So they were part of the agenda.
Oh, so they were like glommed on exactly. And thought, hey, and then, so, here's a whole bunch of voters.
Exactly. And of course, and the take I got was that traditionally the NDP has been quite strong because it's a big union up there.
Yeah.
And so Ford was really going after Horvath to try to destabilize her, and they think they can make inroads.
He's so stilted and still nervous in his face, in his big, fat, puffy face. He's got that look of, like, I recognize the look on his face in myself.
Which is? In
my man in the mirror. Like, when I'm auditioning and I go up on a line and I dry, I do the same face as he does, although mine's not as fat or puffy, although it's getting puffier with age. And I see that. You know, he's sort of like, and... what does he call her? He doesn't call her Andrea. Andrea, I don't know if her candidates like the miners. I don't know if, is she for, you know, she'll say one thing about mines, and then she'll say another, and I just don't know if, and yet, where the delivery lacks, his dumb, simplistic message resonates.
Well, okay.
Because he says the same thing over and over again. He's just like, I don't know about this one.
Yeah, but actually, there you go. This is the actual issue. You know, I've been in business for 25 years. I've, you know...
Come on, Stephen. A lot more.
No, but...
You're not that young.
Okay. Anyways, the point is I've been in front of lots of people, and I've done lots of speeches, and I've presented at conferences. And one thing I learned very early on is do never, never, never go in front of people and talk about stuff you don't know enough about, right? You have to go up there.
And yet he's proving you wrong all the time.
No, but I'm just saying, you have to go up there and own it because you know it innately, right? It's in your boat. This man doesn't know what he's talking about.
Doesn't matter. But still works.
No, but that's
still working.
I disagree.
Doubling the numbers of your candidate in the polls.
Yes, but that's
doubling.
That's not a. That's like it's got nothing to do with the fact that he's
going to be
competent.
A bloodbath. It's going to be a massacre.
I disagree. Do you want to talk about what else happened today?
Please.
So
explain
there's a couple. There's a couple little things that did happen, which is. This is subtle, but it actually, I think this is going to be the little brook and stream. Yeah.
You're glomming on to every fucking last hope, aren't you?
I told you last show, I'm not giving up till the last vote. Right?
I hope you learn how to vote strategically.
And apparently he did this just a few days ago. I don't know if it's a psychological thing or it's just a habit. But he said he basically shook her hand, didn't let it go, and said, I really like your smile.
He said it again.
Yes.
And it's not subtle at all. That's him saying to the ancient dinosaur idiotic patriarchs in his voter base, it's okay to still act like it's 19 or 2017. It's okay. We can still comment on these things that are like subliminally belittling to women.
Absolutely.
I think it's calculated because I'm sure after the debate, his strategists they did the postmortem and they were like, you only made one mistake. It was when you commented on a smile. And then another guy, an even older, whiter guy, stood up and was like, no, I don't think that's a mistake. I think you should double down on it. Trump would double down on it. Trump would have patted her bottom on the way out.
Well, exactly, right?
So if he said it again, I don't know. I'm not sure that's.
But
a mistake.
I think it is a mistake. But I think
it's the courts.
I think there's going to be. I think that's going to be a storyline that evolves and bubbles a little bit and gets to something.
I'm telling you.
No, I think you're right. I'm not disagreeing with you, but the look on your face, the way you're going to, this is going to be our savior.
No. I'm not
you
saying.
You are. You're like, this
I'm
is going to bring him down.
No,
it's not going to
no,
bring
no.
him
it's
down.
Not, I'm not saying it's going to bring
He's
him down.
He's going to say the C word before this is out, and he'll still win.
Put it this way. I think it's going to be a bunch of little things that percolate over the next 30 days. Anyways, another thing that happened today is a couple things. One is... a friend of mine, the well-known economist here in Canada, Jim Stanford, posted a little tweet. And it was really, you know, talking about
Jim. I love Jim.
Yeah, Jim, he's awesome. And he posted on Twitter, and he said, I heard Four Nation three times on TV yesterday, and he perfectly captured his impossible fiscal triangle. He promised on one day to fix health care, cut income taxes for almost everyone, and reduce Ontario's debt, world's biggest knot. So the interesting part, Jim was the economist that wrote an article calling out Hudak in the last election, mm-hmm. and about his math being all
Remind
wrong.
Remind me who Hudak is.
He was the leader of the Progressive Conservative of Ontario during
and
the last
election.
He had
to step down because he was patting people's butts?
No. No, he just lost the election.
Oh.
Yeah. So his bigger mistake was telling everybody he was going to fire 200,000 people.
Oh, right. I remember
Exactly. Yeah. So not almost as bad as John Tory when John Tory was, you know, came out with some big religious. He was going to start a religious war with Catholic school. Like it was a whole.
Right. He wanted to amalgamate the Catholic school system and the public school system.
Yeah, I don't know.
No.
I don't think it's that. But it was something to do. It was a divisive issue around religion in schools.
Yeah.
So we'll have someone smarter
than
us.
And you know,
his
campaign manager was John Lashinger, wasn't it?
I'm not sure.
How on earth would somebody that seasoned make a mistake like that? Oh, I know. Let's bring religion into this. That's ridiculous.
Exactly. This is like dinner party stuff. Don't talk about politics or religion. Isn't that kind of what everybody talks about?
Yeah.
Exactly. The last thing about...
Hey, you can't... I know you can't get Jim Stanford on. I know.
Well, we'll ask
him.
We'll ask him.
I know he probably doesn't like you that much.
I'll ask him.
Maybe I should ask him.
Oh, go ahead.
It would be great to have him.
Yeah, I think I'll ask him. So
okay, you're pretty confident.
So the other thing that happened, there was an article in the Star. I'm not sure of the reporter. I think it was today, but really pointing out this other narrative. Now, if you thought the Kathleen Wynne, you have a nice smile issues is not enough. This one, I think, is got some more traction because it's actually based on, I think everybody knows it, but everyone doesn't want to talk about it. But this undercurrent of bigotry and racism within part of the Progressive Conservative Party of Ontario. And they still have candidates that Doug Ford is promoting in this election mm-hmm. who have, you can go on the record and look at their writings and look at what they've said in the past that are bigots and racists.
Like who?
I don't know their names, but it's in the article in the Star today. So I can't be specific.
In depth. We're doing some in-depth reporting here.
So
look
anyway,
up Tor Star.
Exactly.
You'll find
but this is kind of some of the stuff that happened today. And I wanted to let you know.
Okay, great to know. Yeah. I still don't think any of that will make a dent. Feels like momentum in a groundswell, in a wave. A blue wave? Is that what it is? Or is that my aftershave? Should we bring our guest on?
Well, first, before we do that.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, this is our third podcast. But
third podcast.
We have some exciting stuff. We actually have a website now.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Politicize.ca.
Okay.
We're on Twitter mm-hmm. at politicize_POD.
Great.
So people can find us. We're on iTunes, of course, so people can subscribe. They can subscribe or they can listen to the podcast on our website. Some aren't on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. So we're reaching out. We've got people following us.
How many?
Oh, at least six.
Yes.
You know, it's 600% more than yesterday.
I'm sorry I can't help with the social media.
We'll get it under control.
If you want to get into that.
We'll get it under control.
Are you on Facebook?
I am. Facebook, yeah. Twitter, LinkedIn.
If ever you want to talk about why you should be off of those things, I'm here for you.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Your turn.
Jonathan Carson, let's bring him into the discussion. He's a union stalwart and an NDP aficionado.
That'll do, yes.
How's it going?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. Now, where do you live?
I live in the riding of Davenport.
Is that, and who's running there and what's happening?
I'm supporting my local candidate, Marit Stiles.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking to take it back from the Liberals.
The Libs have it now?
The Libs have it now.
And what are your chances?
They're very good.
Seriously?
I think so.
Yeah, you're not just saying that.
No, I'm not blowing smoke.
Are you a volunteer?
I am.
Yeah, do you have a sign on your lawn?
Yes.
Yeah. And what traditionally has that riding been?
The Liberals won it last election. It was pretty close. Prior to that, it was the NDP. And then prior to that, it was the Liberals for
So it's
decades.
Like ours, is it? It flip-flops?
Yeah, it's in play now. It was Liberal for a very long time, but it's moved into being a swing seat.
So this might be more NDP-y over here. How's your leader doing? How's Andrea Horvath?
She's doing well.
What has she done?
What has she done? She's performed well at the debates. I didn't see
There's
the
been one
today.
Debate.
Well...
Oh, there was one tonight.
Today, this morning.
She did the press conference.
Well, it was more like a debate.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was all three there?
Uh-huh.
Were all three there?
Yes.
Pandering to the North?
Exactly.
Is that what today's called? All of a sudden we care about the North?
The Northern debate.
What a bunch of bullshit. Jesus Christ. She definitely, I thought she did great in the first one. I thought she won handily.
By the way, I think it was in Parry Sound, right? That's, I don't know about, is that really the North?
Yeah, exactly.
Like
Ontario's the size of half of Europe. Parry Sound isn't the North.
That doesn't seem very North to me, but
no,
anyway.
Look, these buses can't go that far North. Can we get a close, we'll go as far as Parry Sound. Because we got to get back. We got to suck some dick back in Toronto where all the votes are. So she did well on Monday just?
Seems like ages ago, but I believe, yeah, it was Monday.
Yeah, and did you watch the whole thing?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did well.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
So doesn't that beg the question, where has she been doing that well for the last few months? I mean, even since Doug Ford won the captainship of the PCs, that's when she should have been out there going, this guy's a dickwad. He's high on drugs. He eats babies.
That
Look
sounds,
at his
that
face.
Sounds more
He's
like Kathleen Wynne.
A baby eater.
That's more Kathleen Wynne's line right now. But it's well, now that the election's begun, the writ's dropped, the focus changes, and the media is interested in all three leaders. While the House is sitting, I think Queen's Park, which we would call the local parliament, doesn't get a lot of coverage, generally speaking. So it's largely government coverage, and then the opposition.
But when the loudest person in the room is a Ford, it behooves you to get out there and start stumping a little early, doesn't it?
Well, they got their platform out before the election. Like, you know, they were doing what they needed to do.
But it's a liberal platform now. Well, isn't it?
But this is my point.
It's a liberal platform.
But this is,
the liberals took out all the air in the room somehow.
But this is, we talked about this last time. It's just like the liberals come out with a platform about daycare, and then Andrea Horvath comes out with daycare light.
Yeah, but traditionally, no, since the beginning of time, universal daycare has been an NDP platform issue, okay? Kathleen Wynne didn't come out with, hey, look what I've invented, universal daycare. She was like, holy fuck, I'm losing like crazy. Okay, let's give them universal daycare. Oh, I know, guys. I've been in power for forever. Yep. Now I'm going to roll out universal daycare. And everybody's like, I think it's too little too late, you
hold
liar.
Hold on a second, right? She actually brought in JK, right? Which was a step in the right direction.
That's true.
Exactly. So she has done something. So let's not forget. So this actually was actually a natural.
Wait, explain what JK.
So junior kindergarten, right? So
yeah, the rest of the country doesn't always have this.
So exactly. So now 4-year-old little boys and girls can actually have early education. Daycare becomes another part of that, right? So it's not like they weren't thinking about this.
Yeah, but she
stuff.
Didn't roll it out when she was rolling out JK.
No, she didn't even mention it.
She didn't attach it.
But just think about it. Adding JK to the school
system. Yeah, but she did daycare now to get votes. Come on.
Well, they all do.
But that was a big one. And it's a total NDP thing, isn't it?
It is
and
an NDP thing.
And she stole all the thunder from Andrea. No, she didn't steal it. Andrea gave it to her.
No, you're missing. No, I disagree.
Look, the last Google alert that I got on Andrea Horvath was from like January 7th when she had to fire the guy who didn't notice the tickler in Manitoba 15 years ago.
Yeah, well, he's back. And...
I mean, that was Andrea Horvath's headline. Well, old news from 1997. Holy fuck.
You should be checking again. She's back in the news.
And well,
going,
she's back
And it's
now.
Going well. Look at the polls.
Hold on, Jonathan. You were talking about, so I'm being totally honest. I've heard about the daycare, but like, what is the vision of the NDP for Ontario? I'm telling you, I still have not heard it.
Change for the better. Well, I mean, the platform's out. It's pretty long. It's like 100 pages or something. And, you know, they're rolling out. As the election goes on, you roll out your, you know, you'll re-announce them all. So keep tuned. I don't know. Like, the vision between the Liberals and the NDP right now probably isn't that starkly different.
That's why we should keep the Liberals.
Well, unfortunately, although you're heaping it on Andrea for not being out there in the last few months or whatever, if you look at the polling on the leaders particularly, Ms. Wynne is fabulously unpopular. Like,
yeah, Horvath it's amazing.
Is crushing her. So, and
she
you'll
makes Notley look like Miss Congeniality.
Like, you see some liberal signs going up now, like custom in elections now, because everything is leader focused. So you have your central campaign with the leader and then all the local campaigns that do all the legwork. The, typically on your yard sign, you get the, you know, the Ford's team or whatever, right? So every NDP sign has a blue strip at the bottom saying Andrea Horvath, change for the better. You'll notice on all the liberal signs, it doesn't mention who the leader of the party is.
No mention. There's no win with win.
Exactly. There's no Kathleen's team, Wynne's vision, whatever. It's gone. Like, they're all running basically as independents.
But Jonathan, with all due respect, right? Everybody knows who Kathleen Wynne is. Honestly, I call Andrea Horvath the ghost candidate. Like,
that's because you're black. And you're making a racial slur, and I'm fine with that. That's fine. I don't care.
Don't get me.
I've been called worse.
Don't get me going on my albino rant again. But anyways, my whole point is she's been. I think you would have to agree, Jonathan, that for the last 4 years she's been quite invincible.
I think visibility is a challenge as a third party at Queen's Park. It's just, you know, and the Liberals will probably find that in the next over the next few years.
Yeah,
so.
I agree.
Whoever follows Kathleen Wynne into the leader's chair.
Leader of the opposition's opposition.
Yeah, they're going to have a difficult time getting press as well.
Yeah.
But during the election period, certainly when you're the third party, you have to fight their way onto the page. But now you're seeing with the polls, and the polls are trending up. There was a new poll today, I don't remember where it was, I saw it this morning, that showed the NDP closing the gap. Ford attacked Horvath today, and one of the candidates.
His whole focus was not Kathleen Wynne, it was Andrea Horvath.
But going back to the ghost candidate thing, the pre-writ period was all Wynne sniping at Ford, Ford sniping at Wynne. So it kind of benefited both of them to ignore the NDP, just pretend they're not
and
there.
And maybe it benefited the NDP to just sit back and watch them rope-a-dope each other.
But Jonathan, if you recall, the last election, right, there was a huge internal fighting in the NDP leading up to the election. She was, at one point, the polls were pretty good, and then it just collapsed for Andrea Horvath, badly, right?
How come?
Because she misstepped, she was incoherent about certain policies, mm-hmm. It just wasn't working for her, right? She actually had an opportunity, because people, especially with the gas plant stuff, was very raw to people, right? I went canvassing to doors, so I was hearing people saying, you know, but I like her, right? But Andrea Horvath actually had a door that was open, and then she slammed it shut on her herself.
Yeah, the last campaign was a disappointment. Absolutely.
It was a disaster.
Yeah. Well, they maintained their seat count. They just lost seats in Toronto, but they gained some elsewhere.
And how many seats do they have?
20.
There is a 0.5% probability the NDP will win the majority of the seats. What keeps you going? Why are you still NDP? If there's so much Venn diagram shared between the Liberals and the NDP, how come you're still orange?
Well, it's the Liberals currently. I mean, over the grand sweep of time, I would say they don't overlap that much.
Yeah,
This is the current Liberal strategy
and
in
federally.
Ontario and federally is to try to...
eat up the left.
At least rhetorically.
So would you like a further left? Would you be willing to go even further left?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You a commie, Jonathan?
No.
You dirty
commie. I'm not that far. But you know, I support the NDP. That's
where do the NDP go? Where do they eke out some real estate?
Well, it's working right now. I mean, because the problem I think she's having, and this is largely fueled by her personal unpopularity in my view, is that she doesn't have a lot of room to move. So on any policy matter, the NDP platform's already out there. All she's really going to do is match it. Like,
right.
Or she could try to outbid it. But if she tries to outbid it, then it's going to raise a question about, well, why didn't you do any of that in the previous 15 years?
Yeah,
why didn't
I would
you announce
say
that in your budget?
The NDP platform isn't precedent setting. In fact, they've been so quiet, nobody knows what their platform is.
Well, it'll roll out over the, it's out, but you re-announce it through, that's the entire point of
sure,
a central campaign,
I mean,
right?
Ford,
she'll go around to
Ford
different
Nation's
places over
platform
30 days.
Is non-existent.
He's not going to have one.
And that works so well.
Well, it works
He's
for him.
He's got five things on his website. They're in all caps. It's in blue. You read them and you're like, okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, but the thing is that there's a historical platform of the conservative, progressive conservative party, right? So there's a, people know that they want to cut taxes and give money back mm-hmm. to the corporations.
You're still talking like they're swing voters.
Yeah, but the undercurrent
nobody's thinking what you're thinking right now.
No, but that's not,
except for liberals.
No, it's not. People are talking about it. They're just not being 100% honest. That's what I'm telling you. The other part is...
People are talking about it. We're talking about it, so it must
be real. And the other part is, there's an undercurrent of, you know, when Donald Trump says, we're going to make America great again, he's talking about, we're going to go back to where white males, older white males, had the power, right? They didn't have to put up with these immigrants and these other groups and these homosexuals and the transgender and same-sex marriage and women chirping at
maybe,
them.
Maybe. But I think it's even simpler. I think when he says that, all he's doing is invoking the ghost of Ronald Reagan, which is a way more powerful figure than Ronald Reagan himself.
Yeah, but that's actually...
all you got to do, Doug Ford is doing.
I hear what you're saying, but I think what's happening here in Ontario, right, is this undercurrent, right? He said it today. He said, you know, hey, I'm a pretty fair guy, but, you know, I'm going to take care of my own first. Right? He said that, right? So my whole point is that the progressive conservative brand, in terms of their platform, right, it's kind of a general platform that's always out there. In terms of and this is Jonathan, this is where I kind of disagree with you, is the liberals have had a platform and have been doing what they're doing for a long time. Now, you could say you're not happy with that, but to say that the New Democrats, Andrea Horvath and her party, have come up with a platform that's going to change Ontario, I haven't heard it.
Change Ontario is a bit lofty. Change for the better is what they're...
What's better?
Well, it's a change election. And she's better. That's the point of
it's
the.
It's weird. Rob Ford's brother Doug runs on a lack of platform, and it works for him. Andrea Horvath has a platform, but nobody knows what it is, and it doesn't work for.
Well, it'll roll out. It's like the third day of the election. There's 32 days to go.
Yeah, but we already know what Ford Nation wants to do.
Yeah, but Ford's taken up a lot of air, and is a remarkable sort of person. Most people couldn't run on, you know, basically gas, right? I mean, he's just, Most people can't do that. So the NDP, I think, wisely put a platform out there. Whether you two have read it, I flipped through it, but what that does is it put it down there. And then for win, you look at the Liberals, they not just win, they have a very unpopular leader, so they can't run on a leader type campaign. The NDP platform's already there, so at worse, they're going to match the NDP platform. It gives them very little to talk about, right? So she's making these penny ante announcements, which aren't getting any traction. So we're going to hire some nurses or something, right? Like, it gets nowhere.
Yeah,
it's not getting through. And then what her press conference turns into is, you know, what their campaign has been since the last couple of weeks prior to the writ, which is attacking Ford. So, like, all their campaign basically is boiled down to is it's all, would you say, all opposition research. It's just all oppo. Like, they're just attacking relentlessly, which indicates to me that their own thinking is that they're drowning. Because you don't attack like that in a campaign, generally speaking, unless you're losing, right? Like,
yeah,
that's a losing campaign.
She hired JT's fixer.
Yeah, well,
that's a desperate measure.
So we've talked about. I wouldn't say desperate. I think it's
desperate times.
I think it's desperate. We've measures. Been talking about it here on our show. Yeah. that she needs to take the gloves off and go hard, right? Dave Hurley's her campaign manager, and I'm sure the whole team, like this is not normal election. They need to get the gloves off and start fighting like Doug Ford.
Yeah, I don't know if you can. I don't know if a leopard can change their spots. I think they have to find a third way.
Yeah, they're trying that, but I think their gloves have been off. I think that's what we're seeing. They run ads saying you're going to lose your apartment, that he's going to take away abortion rights, that he's going to, like, that's what their ad, and they're running those at, like, high-profile times, like NHL playoff games, which the other parties aren't running ads at those times yet. So the Liberals are spending all their money early because they're losing. So they're trying to get some momentum going.
Yeah.
The problem with that approach, too, though, is if it works that they're tearing down Ford to some degree, there's a somebody in the middle. And this strategy that they had going in, which was ignore the NDP, attack Ford, that depends on the NDP being in third place. Now that the NDP's moved into second place on all the polling averages, they have a problem because there's somebody in the way. So if they're taking down Ford, Ford's going down, some of that vote's dripping to the NDP, which is what we're seeing in the polls. The NDP's going up. And with Ford's attacks on Horvath and some of the candidates today, what I would anticipate is going to happen in the next few days of polling is that you're going to see the Liberals are going to start going down. And what we would hope for is a snowballing going on where they're going to be caught in a problem, whereas people aren't going to like Ford. They're going to move to the NDP because that's the way to stop Ford. And then Ford will attack the NDP more and more and more, saying they're crazy commies, we're in the economy, that kind of thing, which is what happened in 2011, the Orange Wave election, where the NDP moved into the official opposition.
First of all, the Liberals did not lose the 2000, they didn't, the NDP did not ascend as the official opposition of the federally with under Layton because of losing votes of Progressive. Quebec made Jack Layton. The Orange Wave in Quebec is what made Jack Layton. The Quebecers are the most fickle voters, but he inspired them, right? He inspired disillusioned separatists. Quebecers who are traditionally conservative, who were tired of Stephen Harper, and that's really what happened.
Is Quebec more racist?
Hold on.
Is Quebec a little more racist?
I'm not going to.
Well, come on.
I think
are they a bit more racist over there?
We did talk about this, not on the show, but another time, but I think there's some historical biases based on the culture of a segment of, especially the...
Like, what's Jagmeet going to do there?
Oh, we'll get back to that.
Okay.
All right, we'll get back to that. But I just want to get back to Jonathan's point about here. I think that I was kind of following your story there, but I think there's the biggest problem of the New Democrats in Ontario is your leader. I don't think she's strong enough to step through that door and actually become the win. That's I think we'll get there probably in the next couple weeks, but people will realize that she doesn't actually have it to win, and therefore now people are going to have to make a decision, right? And I know you're saying, you know, strategic voting, but I think that's what's going to happen.
There's a lot to unpack there. First, I'd say though, in terms of revisionist history, you should check how those seats went in Ontario. I believe in 2011, the NDP and Liberals came in with very close to the same percentage in Ontario, though the NDP had about twice the number of seats that the Liberals got. So, I mean, the Liberals got shellacked, as you'll recall. And the NDP won seats they never won before out in Scarborough.
We talked about the Brexit remorse and the Trump remorse, and you know, people voted, but then the next day they're going, oh my God, now American, you know, there's a... People are going, what did we do? And one of the things about Canadians that I love Canada and I'm a proud Canadian, but there's this...
I'm on the fence.
There's an undercurrent of smugness.
With the Liberals.
With Canadians. Oh, we would never elect a Donald Trump in this country.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, true.
Right, we would never elect a Donald Trump. But you know what? A lot of people...
We're about to.
That's what I'm saying.
Or they don't see him as Trump.
What I'm saying is, I'm not saying he's Donald Trump, but I'm saying in terms of a lot of his, who he is in terms of his ability to think about policy and business and how intricate running government is and helping poor people.
Okay.
Like, he's not...
You gotta... I know this.
Yes.
But nobody thinks like you do, except for your other liberal friends.
No, actually, lots of people think that.
No, people just aren't like, government's intricate. No, they say stuff like, government's too big. They don't even know what that means. How do you know it's too big? Have you been there? Have you seen it? What is it? You mean the lineups at Service Ontario? Yes, I agree with you. They're too long. The website's shit. Don't try calling them. You'll get cancer. But I'm telling you, you are disconnected from the reality that is happening.
I disagree. I'm telling you. I think people, for whatever reason, are choosing...
I'll tell you the reason.
They're choosing not to pay, not to admit it to themselves that they're making an emotional decision that hasn't been thought through.
Okay. What about this for a strategy? Why doesn't the left invoke the ghost of Mike Harris? Is it too far away?
Oh, Kathleen Wynne is talking about Mike Harris.
Does she?
Yeah.
What does she say? Great idea. I thought I came up with it. What has she been saying? And does that resonate with a certain demographic?
Yeah, probably. But, I mean, you'd be over 50.
Is it desperate? Is it a desperate move?
It's desperate, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they've been in power for a long time. I mean, it's a hell of a reach back, like, to be talking
it
about
is, right?
Mike Harris, right? Like, it's...
Is that who the impossibly named... Dalton McGuinty won against?
He beat Ernie Eves.
Okay, forget it. That's way too much history to go through. So it's too far gone. And do people look at Mike Harris as a nightmare? Because people still talk about Bob Ray and what a nightmare that was.
No, of course. If you're a progressive person, you're going, the Mike Harris years were horrible, right? And he cut to the bone. It was a hard time for a lot of people.
This question is for both of you two. You have to put yourself into Ford Nation's shoes now. What are some good things that Doug Ford can do for this province? You have to say something, and you have to believe it.
Resign.
No, come on. You got to play this game. You got to say, yeah, actually, $5 billion for a subway? I'd like that.
Yeah, but we're proposing... mass transit. John Tory has been at the
15 years.
He's been at the forefront of this. We actually have new transit lines. What are you talking about?
Where's the downtown Queen Street?
I think they passed that in
2031.
Yeah, but
might be built
these
in 2031.
Things take a long time.
Yeah, but the for Ford Nation. Now remember my question. It wasn't an unfair one. Put yourself in someone else's shoes. They're wondering why after 15 years of liberal rule. And a lot of left-wing mayors, there aren't more subways, and the only two people that have been talking about digging is Rob Ford, may he rest in peace, and his older brother Dougie.
Yeah, I mean, his stuff on subways resonates. I mean, it seemed, in the debate on Monday, that was very popular out in Scarborough, I understand. Like, it works. People like to hear that from him. I don't believe any of it.
You don't think it'll ever happen?
It's hard to say. I mean, he'll probably want to build the most ridiculous subway line you could. Like, he'll extend it out to Oshawa or something.
There'll be a Ferris wheel.
There'll be slot machines on there.
There'll be slot machines that will pay for all the addiction services that we will need to protect us from the VLTs.
Yeah, but I mean, as you've already pointed out, there's no platform. He's running on nothing. Like, we have no idea.
Yeah.
What? I mean, I guess the best thing I could hope for if he wins, I'll put it this way, is that he hires some competent people. Not like his brother didn't exactly always hire competent people in the mayor's office. There's lots of competent Tories, so hopefully he hires a bunch of very competent Tories to come in and at least competently run the government.
I want Sandro.
So there's not an endless circus of, yeah.
I want Sandro back.
Exactly.
I want the Ray Donovan of municipal politics back. I want him in his big Mercedes-Benz that has a baseball bat in the trunk with a whole bunch of clean white shirts. So after he's done with the beatings, he just changes his shirt and goes on with his business. Does Doug Ford have, is it going to be like that? Or is he different than his brother?
Well, no, because he's not going to win. But I'll play your little game, even though I can't believe I would actually envision that scenario. But
why not?
I would say...
What is so bad about playing this game?
I'm going to concur with Jonathan on this one. hopefully they are able to recruit top policy business people who can, you know, be competent and make it so that foreign organizations and investment
people. So that's it.
No, but I'm just saying
that's it.
That's going to be important.
You don't like the subways. You don't like cutting efficiencies.
John Tory's already got a smart track program.
Efficiencies. What about those? Are there such thing as efficiencies?
Efficiencies.
Hey? $6 billion, he says.
Did you not hear Kathleen Wynne, who actually had real data that he was not able to... On a per capita basis, we deliver the most efficiencies in regards to the dollars spent in Ontario.
Unfortunately, she didn't say this 5 years ago, 10 years ago. She's saying it now, and it's too little and it's too late.
I'm glad you took the too little out.
I'm not hoping for Doug Ford to be premier. I just know it's going to happen. And the NDP are going to be the official opposition.
I still hope that there's an NDP win in there. It's a long way to go. So we'll see how the momentum shakes out. I don't think everything's going to be static here for 4 weeks. There's a way to get ahead of him, I think. He's a strange person. He says a lot of stuff, and he could catch himself out badly. He's lost support since the election started. It's trickling away.
Yeah, but it's a tiny trickle, and they've got him reined in.
Yeah, and they have a lot of, well, speaking of like the kind of vote efficiency, they have a lot of safe seats, the Tories, right? Like all through the rural areas, it's largely conservative.
Are there any skeletons in his closet? Any good Rob Fordian skeletons?
Absolutely.
Like what?
No, because they're all out.
That's it.
Like that's one of the
problems.
The best
we got is the, what are they called? The RY Strangers?
Let me tell you
something. The RL Walkers?
I'm telling you.
What was his drug posse called?
I can't remember.
In Etobicoke?
I can't remember. But actually...
that's all they got is him dealing drugs in
the
80s.
Our friend...
Who didn't?
Greg, who did that story, lives here in our hood. He did that.
Get him on, Stephen. Come on.
I'll talk to him. I think I watched Andrea Horvath today. Unless there's something that she is holding back or she finds her groove or something, she's not a closer.
No. She's not ABC. She's not Alec Baldwin, always be closing.
No. She doesn't even know where the Boca Vista leads are. That's what I'm telling you.
I think she's been looking good. I think the debates, she's done a good job.
She has. I wish she had been doing something before that.
Yeah, but this is the election. This is when you need to do it.
Yeah, but Doug Ford was busy doing other stuff before the election. Come on. Who is going to call you up tomorrow morning and go, hey, you were being unfair to Andrea on the podcast that no one listens to?
No.
Come on. You can say, yeah, you're right. She's really quiet until now. She's great in front of a microphone. Why wasn't she doing stuff beforehand?
She's been, you know, she does stuff. She's been out. The problem is, you can't drive any coverage when you're in the third party. Ford.
If you say something, if you got something to say,
yeah, well,
then you can. But nobody does until the change candidate comes along and is like, hey, look, I'm a shiny new nickel. And everybody's like, oh, my God, look at him. He's shiny.
But this is my point from that I was asking Jonathan at the front of the show here. Is that she knows that she lost the last election, right? She knows that she...
Andrea.
Yeah, she fumbled the ball.
She fumbled it.
Fumbled the ball. No. She there was a...
So she's afraid of making another mistake.
She was a... But I'm just saying, coming out of that election, you know, the first thing I would be doing is let's make sure we do an analysis of what went wrong, and then let's start building our plan, and let's slowly start testing that in the marketplace over
the
next 4 years.
Well, she must have did that.
She did nothing.
Of course they did. Yeah, they assessed everything.
She must have assessed everything.
A number of people lost
their jobs. No one ever heard of it. Look, it's all super boring.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, of course I heard it. It's all super boring. You got to come out. Yeah, when the loudest person in the room is Doug Ford, you got to say way more.
But Ford sucks up a lot of air. And I mean... Now it's being said.
Excuses.
But now the meat. But the
election
period.
You've got to match the energy with your own talking points.
I don't think so.
That's all.
The election period doesn't need to last that long. Ford had two things going for him, at least. One, he's Ford, which attracts attention. Second is they came out of a leadership which attracts attention. So the leadership,
yeah, like, but when they was came out of an imploding party with a whole bunch of sex scandals. You True. Could argue that he was behind the eight ball and he made hay.
No, anybody who came out of that was going to be doing fine.
Because if it was on the liberal side, it would not be helping win at all.
No, not the. What do you mean? The scandals?
Yeah, if there were the scandals in the same.
I don't mean the scandals. I mean it was the leadership. The act of having a leadership race attracts a lot of media attention. That's where the media's looking. You get stories.
Yeah, sure. But I mean, no one's even talking about those dirtbags in his party
during
anymore.
That very short, weird leadership race they had. Like, the government wasn't even getting in the paper. Like, they weren't even doing it. Like, it was all Tories all the time. And then it comes out of that, and he won against, I mean, most smart money. So that attracted its own attention. And then he's Ford. So it just keeps rolling. Like, Ford's just he gets press conference in his mom's basement, and reporters drive to North Etobicoke to go
I'm
to these things.
Saying,
nobody else on earth
I'm
could
just
have a press conference
to me,
in Etobicoke in his basement to go to.
It's an opportunity for the other party leaders and not an excuse as to why you can't get any ink. You look at that and you go, oh, he's doing that. Let me try something in my basement.
But why? You got the election. This is the election. This is when you do it.
I'm telling you. You can't wait for 30. You can't wait to win it all in 30 days.
You can't.
You can't
do
it.
It's so Canadian.
You can't do it.
We're not going to say anything until the writ's
drawn.
Nobody even knows what a writ is.
No, exactly. And by the way, it's like I've been in marketing forever and explained to clients and who may not be as sophisticated around marketing. I said marketing is that will be sustainable and builds brands and all that is like a drop in a glass of glass, and eventually your glass is half full and then it starts building. It's not a turn it on and turn it off thing, right?
Yeah.
So you have to keep nurturing that, right? You have to keep seeding the thing, right? So the
but with exciting things like alcohol and jizz, not just water. It's so fucking boring,
you know.
And then Ford comes along and he's like, I'm taking back the province. And people go, yes, didn't know we needed taken back, but I'm into this. Yeah.
And by the way,
Andrea could be doing that. Yeah. And that's all I'm saying.
And
she could be this change candidate too. I'm just saying it was a little too late.
That's the slogan. That's exactly what they're doing.
But I've only heard of it.
It's a slogan.
That's what the election's for. The election is for making you hear about
it. We've talked about this a million times. Enough.
Hold on. I just want to say one last thing on the point. Is that we haven't the elephant in the room for the New Democrats is that
That's a horrible way to speak about Andrea.
is that they are not. Ontarians have a historical, and I hate to say this because I love Bob Ray, but there's a there's a historical phobia against the New Democrats
for fiscal
irresponsibility and not actually being able to manage finances effectively.
Okay, so Bob Ray screwed the province decades ago.
Well, that could be
whatever.
Argued.
And yet Mike Harris's ghost is not effective at all. But people are still afraid of the NDP because of Bob Ray, who has gone on to be this amazing elder statesman who goes around the world and fixes other countries. Okay, so wait, I don't understand. How come Bob Ray is such a boogeyman and Mike Harris isn't?
Not so much Bob Ray, but I think the
NDP.
The policies that Bob Ray advocated for, which actually historically now some people would say it might have been the right thing, but just at the wrong time, right? So it was he was caught in the great
okay
the
so
recession.
But why is he more
well I'm just
why is he no, worse
I'm just than... I'm saying the I think Ontarians, when they think of the brand of the NDP, they're going, we're not sure. I think there's still some people who are going, I'm not sure that we can trust them with managing money and finances.
Doug Ford always says.
Yeah, well, that's probably the brand negative for the NDP. So
mean Tom Mulcair tried to fix it in 2015 by saying, I'm going to balance the budget and take care of people. And it didn't work.
It didn't work.
And the liberals were like,
wrong time.
And the liberals were like, we're going to spend all the money.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, yes, let's do it. Look at his socks.
Yeah. So maybe Tom should have gone that route.
I think Tom was just too old. if he had done what's the Canadian version of the correspondence dinner at the White House?
There's one.
There's a press night. And 2 years ago, Mean Tom Mulcair got up there and did a hacky speech about not giving any fucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. How come? I mean, he got more traction on that one YouTube video when he was on his way out the door. How come politicians on the left can't say that while they're in power? I mean, imagine that. If somebody, yeah. Ooh, we've caught a video of Thomas Mulcair doing a 5-minute bit on not giving any fucks. He would have won hands down.
Yeah, he would.
He would have gotten so much pussy.
There was a lot of problems with that campaign, I'm sure. But
I just wish the left would, like, you know, man and woman up and talk like people normally talk, because why Ford is doing so well.
I think Andrea is actually doing a pretty good job of that in the debates. That's why people liked it in the debate. Like, I thought she seemed pretty natural in the debate on City. I didn't see today's. I saw people talking about it, and there was a picture of the three leaders at their respective podiums, and Andrea had no notes, so people were really happy with that.
That's cool.
So she talked. That takes a lot of fucking. She spoke more naturally.
To go without notes, that is huge. Okay, final thoughts. We should wrap it up. We're running out of time.
All right.
What do you have to say to me?
I think we've said a lot, but I like the fact that we're having all these different people coming in, and it looks like our local Liberal candidate here, Nadia Guerrero, wants to come on and chat with us. So that's going to be
great. How do we get Butila?
Well, maybe Jonathan can help with that.
Can you get us Butila?
I'll see.
Yes. Okay. This has been Politicized for Friday, May 11th. We're back on Monday, the 14th, with more exciting political news. I feel like I'm strident and yelling.
You are.
Yeah.
Thanks, JB.
Thanks, Stephen. Jonathan, thanks for coming by.